Now, let's talk a little bit about cardio in terms of volume and intensity, but before we do, maybe you could just give us a good definition of what aerobic exercise is and why it's important to the health model.
Well, when I do my seminars, I throw this up. I put two words up, and I just put aerobic versus anaerobic. So, and I just ask people first, what does aerobic mean? And it's funny sometimes, particularly if you have people in the audience that have some knowledge of exercise physiology, you'll get this very sort of complicated, long definition. And I said, okay, I'm looking for something simpler than that. And all I'm looking for is any exercise that requires oxygen. That's really what aerobic means, is requiring oxygen. I said, well, I don't know of any exercise out there that doesn't require oxygen. So everything is aerobic. You're aerobic now, just sitting down. I said, so it's sort of this myth of the aerobic's got to be the long, slow, continuous was a big problem. And the term anaerobic, which I then say, what does anaerobic mean? That means without oxygen, the an being Latin. I said, that has been given this sort of bad term. And the point I always want to get through to people is you cannot be purely anaerobic. You are always going to have an aerobic component, and we can discuss more on that. But that was some of the more modern research has shown that the kinetics of oxygen consumption is different to what we've heard. You know, so a lot of the old textbooks are really a bit antiquated in their description of how oxygen kinetics occur. I mean, if we're wanting to do a sprint, for example, they've shown now as much as, you know, the oxygen kinetics, you know, well over 50% from the aerobic pathways through the mitochondria are occurring in that sprint. We didn't used to think that. So it's not this sequential, you go through the ATP, phosphocreatine, then you go through glycolysis. It's not like that. The body, and it makes sense, the body's going to give all it can from every energy source. So they're all working together. But in terms of, you know, it is crucial that we have a good aerobic capacity. Now, good aerobic capacity also, I think people sometimes miss the boat there. We think that we've got to have an aerobic capacity of an elite endurance athlete, and that's absolutely not the case. What we don't want is the aerobic capacity, you know, sort of down in the very low numbers of something like, you know, less than 20 milliliters per kilogram per minute. And if people are wondering about those units, if they're not familiar, I always tell people, an average college-age male would probably be about 45. Don't worry too much about the units, and females about 35. These elite endurance athletes can have as high as, you know, 80 in the males and sort of the 70s in the females. And there was this, because of the early sort of bias in the sports science research, it was almost as if that's what we're trying to get the general population to become, which is not necessary to be healthy. And my experience in measuring sort of sprint-type trained athlete or people that lift weights but do it vigorously and are breathing hard when they do so, have very healthy aerobic capacities, and I'm the first to say it's important, but we don't need to get to the level of these endurance athletes, and it can be accomplished with high-intensity, short-duration sort of weightlifting, sprinting, that type of approach, and I'm sure we'll get more into that. So I'm saying, yes, I agree, it's very important. The difference is, how do we get a healthy aerobic capacity? It doesn't have to be this traditional cardio conditioning that everyone thinks they need to do.